141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the build-up continues to a potentially title-deciding weekend in Scotland. Brendan Rodgers says Celtic arrive into Saturday's game in the best place they've been in all season. Derek McInnes is bracing himself for summer bids for Young Player of the Year David Watson. And it's all square between Airdrie and Partick Thistle as they look to secure playoff promotion. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell. Cammy, it is just getting busier and busier as we build up to the big one this weekend.
Yeah, massive match this weekend. We all know we spoke about for a few weeks now, building up to the game. It's all or nothing for Rangers. For me, Celtic have probably got the luxury of taking a draw for the game, but they'll want the job done as well on Saturday, so it's going to be an absolute blockbuster.
At this stage in the week, as a player, were you just desperate to get it over with?
Yeah, I'm
too
just
much talking.
Listen, I'm just thinking about it. Obviously, you talk, you react in the games at the weekend there, and now it's, you know, homing in quickly on the big one at the weekend. It's, as Cammy says, all to play for. Celtic with the advantage, obviously, being at home, 60,000 Celtic fans there, the 3-point gap, Rangers with it all to do, but it's set up nicely.
See, that's the difference when you're a player. He's now a pundit, so we can't be done with the talking, because that's sort of how this show works between now and 8 o'clock. But 01419511025, come on down, the latest instalment of your build-up to Saturday's match between Celtic and Rangers. What are you thinking now? Have your emotions changed since last night? You always say it's a sort of roller coaster. So was last night a nervous night and tonight's an optimistic night, or vice versa? Of course, let's get specific about players and systems and tactics and all that sort of stuff. Brendan Rodgers feels Celtic arrive into the game in the best place they've been in all season. Would you agree with that? Celtic fans, we're going to hear from a former Rangers striker who thinks Rangers can still kick on and win that title. Elsewhere, still lots happening. Playoffs last night. I'd like to hear from you, Airdrie and Partick Thistle fans. A really entertaining game, I think we would agree. And it's finally poised heading into the second leg. St Mirren fans, Alex Gogic signed a new 3-year deal. We're going to hear from him. And here's one that would maybe interest more than just you Kilmarnock fans. Maybe Kilmarnock fans want to put your fingers in your ears at this moment. But Derek McInnes says he's expecting offers for Young Player of the Year David Watson this summer. So I wonder, would you expect those bids to come from here in Scotland, which would probably only mean a couple of teams, obviously, or would you expect those bids to come from elsewhere? If you are a fan of those teams, I think we all know who we're on about, would you like to see a potential bid put in for David Watson? And Kilmarnock fans, I'm sure you're desperate to hold on to him, but your own manager is speaking about expecting offers for him. So where would you expect those offers to come from? 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now as quick as you can. Of course, you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. But let's share a busy week across Scottish football together. I know you're a keen observer of the Championship and all things lower league, Cammy. I always love the playoffs. I said it last night. Absolutely love them. And last night was no different.
Yeah, another brilliant, brilliant game than the Championship, which it always produces, and two brilliant teams. I've really enjoyed watching Airdrie this season. I think Reece McCabe's got them playing some fantastic football. They've got some really good talented players as well in there. Adam Frizzell, who started off at Kilmarnock, I know him from there, and just had some bad injuries, didn't get enough game time, and he's found his feet at Airdrie. He really has. Really influential player there. But Partick Thistle have got Brian Graham up front, who's he's at a later stage
better,
in his career.
Better with age,
I think you're meant to say.
He is. Vintage.
He's scored some brilliant goals. It's so exciting with the playoffs up and down the leagues. I found myself at Dumbarton last night. Strangely, I was dropping my daughter.
That's strange, I have to say.
I was dropping my daughter and wife off at the Olivia Rodrigo concert. So I had three hours to kill.
You went to the Dumbarton game?
I had a look at the fixtures. I know Mark Dernan, I used to play with him at Dundee United. He's Dumbarton's captain, so he got me a ticket. It was actually a good game. It was a really good game.
So you went round about the houses to see where you could get.
So who? what do you think was more entertaining, Olivia Rodrigo or Dumbarton against Stirling Albion?
Definitely Dumbarton for me. Absolutely.
There we go. You're a music connoisseur. That's not up your street, that though, is it?
I'm puzzled with that one.
That's over your head.
Yeah, well over my head.
0141 951 1025. Come on, get your calls in. Big weekend coming up. I can tell already, looking at social media, the calls on Monday and Tuesday, already people thinking about, you know, who should play and who shouldn't and who goes into the game and what type of mood or form. So get all that general stuff over. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers thinks you're in the best place you've been in all season. Would you agree with that or not? Rangers fans, do you need to do something a bit different, a bit drastic? There's obviously more onus on you to go on and try and win that game and turn things around. And you, Kilmarnock, Celtic, Rangers, Scotland fans, David Watson, what do you think? Derek McInnes says he's expecting bids this summer. What do you think the future holds for him? Celtic and Rangers fans, is that one that should be on your radar? Kelly fans, do you think he is better served staying put, going elsewhere, going to another country, going to another league? You let us know. 01419511025. You know, I was just having a quick look. I mean, you have to go way back in the history books, obviously, for a man of your age. I was just looking to see what your first your first experience of the fixture, September 96, yes. Would that be right? Rangers 2, Celtic 0.
What fixture? This Rangers? No.
There is no other fixture.
Right, so you've got it wrong initially.
Is it?
Yeah, it's before that. It was 90. My first game was the one at Ibrox where there was no Celtic fans.
See, genuinely, right, I know we laugh, but I think it's because the website I usually use for these things,
here we go. I think go back that
it
far.
Stops getting, it must stop getting reliable in the mid-90s.
It's only 8 minutes old and that's a couple.
But it genuinely must, right, because it does have a lot of your games missing from that period, because now that I look at it, it's sort of missed the season.
For the listeners, it was a lot of the listeners.
So the John Collins one?
It was John Collins.
I'm well aware of it. Is that the one with the Predator boots as well?
Yeah.
Is that not the story there? Is that the first time?
The Predator boots, it was the first free kick. And he actually went back there the following season and almost scored an identical free kick again. I think the first one was against Colin Scott, and then Andy Gorham was in for the second one.
Remember that? You thought those boots, you could just kick it in any direction, it would go like a boomerang and amazing, just find its way into the bit. Wasn't you still needed a wee bit of ability to go along with them? But they were great.
The first ones weren't great. The first ones had the big huge ridges and I didn't like them, but it worked for John.
Oh, vintage boots, they're
kind of a goalie wearing them.
No, I wouldn't have said any goalies back in the day. Listen, in this day and age,
a bit of swerve in your goal kicks.
You see what the goalies wear in this day and age, they wear all sorts of coloured boots and gloves.
We've talked about Olivia Rodrigo, coloured boots, and
the website. Fact that website doesn't go back long
the
enough.
The fact
for me.
That you need Thank to you. Dig into the archives to find Simon Donnelly's details, but hopefully we can move on to more familiar topics with Martin, who's in Straven to kick things off. Martin, on a Wednesday night, what does the pre-game feeling look like for you?
Celtic all the way, definitely.
So it's confident then? There's no apprehension or anything? It's full confidence for you?
Rangers don't have the confidence or the consistency to beat Celtic at Parkhead, I don't think. I was listening to your programme last night, and one of your callers was on about Nicholas Kuhn being on the wing on Saturday. I definitely would have James De Forest and Maeda with the experience that the two guys have got, especially James De Forest. I would definitely have them two on the wing.
So that would obviously involve James Forrest going over to the right side where he's not played in the last couple of games, but you don't think that's an issue?
No, definitely not.
Simon, what would you go for?
It's an interesting one. I was thinking about it in the car on the way in, because obviously we were going to be talking about the team, and I think it's the only debate really in the 11. And I side with, is it Martin there? Only, I think Maeda and Forrest, only because how effective Maeda's been in this fixture. He's super fit, so I don't think that'll be an issue that he's missed games. Kuhn has shown signs. He's done well. You know, he's come in. He found it difficult at the beginning. I think he's did well of late. But Jamesy Forrest has found a second wind at the end of this season. You know, he hasn't played a lot through injury, but he's popped into these really important games. The semi-final at Hampden, he came on. Immediate impact, scores the goal. Couple of goals at Dens Park. Looked lively again at the weekend. I think he's back at the top of his game. And I think going into these games, you lean towards the experience of, you know, his know-how and Majedis. I think it will be those two. I know what you're saying about
Forrest moving
playing
back
on that
to...
side, yeah, but I just think his experience and his form might get him the nod ahead of Kuhn.
If you're Rangers, Cammy, or specifically if you're James Tavernier, you're really hoping that it isn't Dyson Maeda up against you. Is that fair? We're not exaggerating that stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think Maeda will play because, again, he's such a threat and he pushes James Tavernier further back the pitch. And listen, it's a different game for James Tavernier if he's facing Maeda. So I really do think that'll play a part in Celtic's choice. I know he's not match fit, but listen, this is an Old Firm game.
He's not even been out that long either.
No, and it's an Old Firm game with so much riding on it as well, close to the end of the season. So you're taking that little bit of a risk for me. If he's 80% fit, you're still taking a chance because he's so influential in these games because he plays against Tavernier, who's a player that Rangers look to try and get forward. But again, it nullifies Tav getting forward as much. So I believe he will play for Celtic.
Martin, the Dyson Maeda thing, he's only been out a couple of weeks, as we said, so that's not an issue for you. You don't think there's any question here? He gets pitched back in.
I don't think Brendan Rodgers would play him if he wasn't fit. You know, he was on last weekend. He's as fit as a butcher's dog. His engine is phenomenal. And again, the same with James A. Forrest. You know, he's not played a lot, so he's fit. You know, and to come back at the level that he has, you know, and banging goals in for fun, you know, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. You spoke about your confidence, and I think lots of Celtic fans will probably be similar. Is there anything that, I don't know if worries you is the right word, are there any doubts or any weaknesses that concern you in the slightest?
Yeah, the back two. They've got to be tight. Scales gives the ball away too easy. But he's a decent defender. But I just think they need to be on target.
Yeah, well, we give this
especially with Silva, you know, he likes to dive all over the place. And that can be a big factor, as it was in the last game.
Well, yeah, we could now go on to debate the penalty from the last game. Are we over that? What would be, and I don't mean to take it negative, it's just because every Celtic fan is feeling confident. We're about, you know, Brendan Rodgers says they're in the best place that they have been. Yeah. They are in the driving seat, they are favourites. So I'm just wondering, from Martin and maybe from your perspective, what would be the factor that affects your confidence the most?
Because it's this fixture.
So the unpredictability of it.
Yes.
Right, okay.
I think that would be the first thing, because I agree. Listen, last week, I think that's one of the best performances Celtic have had this season. However, at 0-0, there was a couple of little chances that Hearts had. Shankland had an opportunity inside the box. But I think once Celtic, you know, found their rhythm, especially when they get the second goal, that's some of the nicest football I've seen them play this year. And I think that led to Brendan's comments after the game, you know, saying that they're in a good place, they've got players back. The fans were exceptional last week, but again, they react to what they're watching on the pitch, and I thought they were really good. And if they can take that performance into the game, I think Celtic should win it. But it's never as straightforward as that, you know, and that's what you said there, the unpredictability of this fixture is the thing that kind of sits at the back of your mind.
That said, and I always have a pop at people, or at least test this theory, that form goes out the window. Rangers don't win many games at Celtic Park over the last, take whatever time frame you like, you know, 20 years. It's not that many. So is it that unpredictable?
I just look at the fixture and I agree with Sid. I think it's probably Rangers' biggest strength at the moment. They're not in great form with regards to how they're playing, but I think the unpredictability of this fixture, anything can happen.
But that's what I'm saying, can it? If Rangers don't actually go to Celtic Park and win that often,
I just think there's a huge amount of pressure on this game as well. It's a little bit different from any other Old Firm game because we're so close to the end of the season. It's for me, if Celtic draw the game, probably their title, it looks like it would be. Rangers know they need to go to Celtic Park and win the game of football. That's the minimum they need to take away from it.
Listen, decisions as well.
Yeah.
begrudge to talk about VAR, but you know, in the last game, and they, you can argue it was proved correctly with the silver penalty, but that swung the momentum of that game, because Celtic really should have been in at half time on their performance, possibly 3-0, and that swung the game. So things like that within the game can change it.
I think getting the big moments right, clearly, you know, because you mentioned at the weekend, both things can be true. It is one of the best Celtic performances of the season. Celtic fans are right to be happy about it. But Hearts could have scored early on.
Yeah, they had chance.
And then if they do, what does that do to the rest of it?
They won a few corners.
So
they
Joe Hart saved Cammy from Devlin. Was brilliant,
and
wasn't it?
Again, people kind of forget because it's early on in the game and Celtic end up winning the game so comfortable. But again, it's a fantastic save. And again, just at the right moment. And he's done that time and time again for Celtic. He's been a great servant. He'll be fully focused to try and get them over the line because they want to finish his career off with another title in the bag. But yeah, I think there is moments for me, looking at it from a Rangers point of view, they can get at Celtic's defence. If you put high pressure on them, you make them nervy, you make them make mistakes early on in the game. Rangers need to start the game better than the last few Old Firm games, that's without doubt. But I think there's definitely weaknesses at the back for Celtic, and Rangers are going to need an almighty performance, but they've got it in them.
But everyone is raving about Kyogo's performance at the weekend, understandably. Simon, that must have been a real shot in the arm, even though he's gone into previous fixtures against Rangers and done the business anyway. Yeah. But just to have that extra bit of feel-good factor to fall back on.
He looks back to his usual self. He took the goals really well. The first one, sharp inside the box. The second one's a fantastic one because he has to concentrate it on it coming out the air for so long. And he takes it first time. He looks to be, as I say, back to his sharp best. Does that coincide with the likes of Hatate coming back into the team? Celtic are looking more like the strongest 11, possibly. But certainly, the way they popped the ball about, especially when it got to 2-0, there was a lot of confidence, a lot of energy there. And I think another performance like that at the weekend's enough for Celtic. I don't see Rangers being able to compete with that.
Let's thank Martin and bring in Paul for the Rangers perspective on things. What are you thinking? A few days out, Paul.
Hi Gordon, I'm getting nervous and excited at the same time. I think, though my thoughts on the game are, I don't know what the guys think, but I think when we've done well at Celtic Park, we've frustrated Celtic, and I go back to games like Google Eggyog scoring the overhead kick. I think Celtic were all over us that day, but we popped up with a goal, and I think the likes of Walter Smith would drop maybe like Chris Boyd and maybe go with one up front and kind of nullifies Celtic's play. And I think, you know, Simon's in the studio, he'll remember the 90s when, you know, Celtic would be very dominant against Rangers, but ultimately Rangers would come away with a victory, maybe a 1-0 or a 2-0 or whatnot. And I think we've got the ingredients there, you know, Jack Butler can pull us out with cracking saves. We've got Tom Lawrence, who can maybe score an outrageous goal as he did against Rannock. And Dessers, believe it or not, who knows, he could be the hero in the day and scores a goal. And I go back to games against Real Betis. No one, even including myself, had no idea. I thought we'd go to Betis and win, and we did. So, in a funny way, I don't know what you think, but I would actually prefer going to Celtic Park with a title on the line and knowing that my club have to win, rather than going there and thinking I need to get a draw, because a draw will suit us. I think that would actually put us under more pressure in a funny way.
I love the amateur psychology of this week, because you can spin and spin and spin until your heart's content. So Paul's theory is, because Celtic know that a draw might be enough, that doesn't provide the same clarity of thought that it does to Rangers, knowing that they need to go and win. I mean, I get it.
Yep.
I don't know how that stuff plays out.
It might play out the further the game goes on. So the last 10 minutes, if it's a draw, do Celtic players start to think that a draw does them?
And but then it change your approach at the start of a game.
No, absolutely not. It's not going to change Celtic's approach. They know that if they win the game, the title's done. So they'll be approaching it. But as the game goes on, if it's still tight with 15-20 minutes to go, it might just start to creep into the minds of the Celtic players. And again, all it takes is one set piece for Rangers, one decision, one free kick, one
mistake, deflection,
brilliant
whatever,
moment from Lawrence or whoever, and it changes the game and it flips the whole title race completely. So absolutely no, it won't change Celtic's approach. They'll go to win the game, but during the game, the further the game goes on, potentially could change the mindset.
I think that's what Paul's saying as well. Rangers' approach, you know, if they can stay in the game and begin to frustrate, then there'll be scope to go and build on that. I think Celtic will go for the jugular. I have no doubt of that from the start. But I think what Paul's alluding to there, referring back to Walter Smith, and indeed my time as well, there was a lot of times, thanks for reminding me, Paul, where we did have a lot of the play and Rangers would break and score. So I think that's... I don't think it'll be by design, but I think they'll try and... They'll need to be dogged at the start. They'll need to stay in the game, because I think the first 15-20 minutes of the game, I think Celtic will go for it.
Paul, is there anything, because Rangers have that poor head-to-head record this season, is there anything different that's not been tried this season? A tweak here or there that you think gives you a better chance than what you've seen so far in the head-to-heads?
No, definitely. I don't think he'll do it, but what I would play is I'd play a rigid back four. Because Celtic will be used to Tavernier and Barisic or Yilmaz, whoever's going to be left back. They'll fly up the wings, and then that's where we're getting exploited, because Lundstrom and Dean need to be on it, because Maeda and Kyogo are lightning quick, and that's how they're catching us out. So I would, if I was the manager, I'd play four at the back, be very rigid, and kind of utilise the midfield, to be honest. That's the way I would do it. But like I said, I know that's taken away a bit of a threat from Tavernier and going up, but then Tavernier's better in free kicks and things like that, so you're not really losing that. And I think I would kind of use the wingers more often, like Silva or Seema, if it's Seema's going to be there, and kind of use him and keep a rigid back four.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's the problem, is that's if Seema's fit, Cammy, and I don't know if he is, and I don't know if Matondo's fit either. And that, you know, Rangers don't have loads of width. I'm sure everyone's seen it. You've seen the graphic that's been shared today from the FA Cup, the Youth Cup 2015-16. You seen this?
No.
So Chelsea's FA Cup, Youth Cup winning team of 2016. It's a kind of, where are they now?
Yep.
Some really famous names in there. Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham and so on. And up front for Chelsea, Dujon Sterling. Is there anywhere he doesn't play? I don't know if that's a sign of things to come this weekend. Probably not. But you do wonder what Philippe Clement will do with what pieces he has.
Yeah, it's difficult. They've got injuries, but they can't dwell on that. They need to deal with their injuries. They've got, again, a positive from the weekend was Tom Lawrence coming back. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player. And again, Todd Cantwell's not done enough for me yet. Again, he just looks a little bit out of form. He looks a little bit unhappy at the moment. I think Lawrence brings a little bit more control and spark. Sterling's got to play for me. I think you get a good performance, solid performance on every single game. So you've got to find a place in the pitch for him. But listen, Philippe Clement's got a big job in his hand, because he needs to find a team and a formation that is going to win him the game.
Thank you, Paul. If you want involved, it's 141 951 1025, and if you call right now, we will do our very best to get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly are here, building up to a big weekend. Of course, we can reflect on the playoff action if you so wish. Airdrie, Partick Thistle fans, where are you? And some interesting comments made today by Derek McInnes about young player of the year David Watson. So lots to get your teeth into. If you fancy it, pick up that phone or tweet us at Clyde SSB. Get all your thoughts over if you can. Let's see what we've got. A message from David McKierney. He says, I'm far too confident going into this Saturday. First half of my life, we never got a result. Last 24 years have been party time, enjoying the moment, but the closer we get, the more nervous, says David. Let's go onto the phone. David, clearly a Celtic fan, judging by those references to the recent record. What about Robert then, who's a Rangers fan? What are your main thoughts at this stage, Robert?
I'm confident, to be honest. I wouldn't have said I was going to be confident before I watched this at the weekend. But if we can repeat that kind of performance against Celtic, then I think we'd get every chance.
Do you think the weekend there, the Kilmarnock game, was a good performance, one that stands you in good stead?
Yeah, definitely. The main thing is that we actually look capable of being physical. It's the first time I've thought that over this season. Cantwell, I thought in particular, looked a lot more physical. We're getting into the challenges, and it just looked like we definitely still believe that we can win this league. And that's what I was beginning to wonder whether the team actually did still believe or not. But based on what I've seen there, I don't think they've given up, so I don't see any reason why we can't do it.
I mean, ultimately, to state the obvious, Rangers have to find belief from somewhere. So if Robert's finding it from the previous game at the weekend, Philippe Clement regularly speaks about, he's been so clear to try and remind everyone that still, since he got here, they've gained more points than Celtic have. He's been repeating that. So these are obviously the types of places he'll be looking at for that belief.
Yeah, definitely. I think, again, they've got to believe, and I'm pretty sure they will believe. The players in there know that there's an opportunity, and that's probably the biggest thing. There's still an opportunity here for Rangers. They know, as I said before, if they win the game, they close the gap. It obviously then, Celtic, depending on the scoreline, would probably be ahead on goal difference still, but they've then to go to Rugby Park, which is a difficult game midweek. So Rangers need to believe that they can get the victory, apply the pressure onto Celtic, and then again they've just got to take care of business. So I won't write Rangers off at all. I believe they have got a performance in there. I believe they've got the players in there, the mentality to do it, but they need to go and show it. They need to go and show it. They've probably not shown it enough this season, but as I said, the opportunity is still there, so go and do it.
What did you make of the performance at the weekend? Because Robert's happy, you know, he's taking that as the indication that things will be okay this weekend.
I think Robert was probably one of the few Rangers fans that were probably really happy with the performance. Kilmarnock, there was a big moment in the game where they obviously went down to 10 men, and it's never easy playing against 10 men, you've got to say that first and foremost. But it just seemed a little bit slow and laboured. They got the job done, they scored 4 goals, so fantastic. That's what they needed to do. But I just think the intensity, it wasn't totally fluid. There was something missing in that game for me from Rangers, just to give it the spark. Again, probably the big spark for me was Tom Lawrence coming on. I think he made a big difference, give Rangers fans a lot of hope that he'll be fit enough to start the game, you know, on Saturday, and hopefully have a huge impact in it.
Robert, who can you hang your hat on? Who are the Rangers players you think are set for this occasion, going to step up and make the difference for you at the weekend?
Lawrence, I would say definitely, but I'm not sure whether he's going to start, to be perfectly honest here, because I would probably like to see Lawrence starting, but I think it'd be unfair in Cantwell. I wouldn't like to be picking the team, put it that way. The ones to hang a hat on, I genuinely don't know, but what I thought that the way that Philip Cohen picked the team and the way that, like I'm bringing on Ben Davies, kind of out of nowhere, seemed to work. But getting goals from defence is not a thing we've been really getting this season. And even John Souter, those are the kind of things that could potentially win us an Old Firm game. It's quite often not been our strikers that are scoring in these games. But I think realistically, if Tavernier can stop scoring goals in his own net, and maybe like not let him score in the first 30 seconds and stuff like that, let him score in the first 30 seconds, that'd be a help as well.
Good advice there, sound advice from Robert. You think back, you kind of think you've seen it all in this fixture. Not sure we've seen a start like we saw the last time.
Incredible. It was incredible. I barely sat down, and it's a really one-off type of, well, it isn't a finish. It just blocks the clearance, and it was a fantastic start for Celtic. Just to touch on Roberts, you know, I think as Cammy said there, they got the job done at the weekend, you know, after going 1-0 down. And I think the positive for Rangers, I agree again with Cammy, is Tom Lawrence. I think, you know, if I was the Rangers manager, I would be starting him. I think he's got the qualities in the final third. He scores a great goal. I think he's a decent player, and I think he might have done enough in his game last week to get a start this week.
It's make or break now as well for Rangers. They know that. So again, if he's not 100% fit, you've got 4 games left. You've got 4 games of the season left. So again, I think it's make or break. If he's fit enough, I think he needs to start the game, because he's something different for Rangers for me as well. I think he's different from Cantwell.
So play them both, or instead of, because Rangers don't have lots of wide options either. So one of them, and I know it's not always been a totally successful move, but one of them can play off a side. Well, if you had the choice, one of them, both of them?
At this moment in time, I would probably play Lawrence instead of Cantwell, to be honest. And again, I just think you need Sterling playing somewhere on the pitch. I think the energy, again, his physicality, he can get up and down the pitch for a period of time. Silva's done okay, so you could probably flip him with Cantwell if it wasn't working. And Dessers is our only sort of striker at the moment. Roof's not played enough, so limited options, to be perfectly honest.
And the great thing about Cyril Dessers, who's been debated on this show over and over again, is he's the ultimate mixed bag. I saw lots of complaints about his performance at the weekend. It still wouldn't be that surprising that he does pop up at this weekend though and have his moment.
No, again, 20 goals this season, so he's got a fantastic return. But again, it's just that frustration from Rangers fans. I think it's holding the ball up, bringing other players into play. It takes him a number of opportunities to score goals as well. He's not going to get that at the weekend, so he needs to be ruthless. And Rangers as a team need to be ruthless at the weekend. If they get an opportunity, it needs to hit the back of the net.
So from a Celtic perspective then, put you two in opposing sides sort of thing, you reckon the player you'd least like to face in that area is Lawrence rather than Cantwell?
Yeah, because I think fitness is the obvious thing there that has hindered Tom Lawrence most of the time he's been at Rangers, but I think he's got the quality that could possibly hurt. And, you know, the way he takes that goal at the weekend, I don't think there's many in that Rangers team that can do that. It's just down to fitness. So I think he'd be the one that I wouldn't be looking, from a Celtic point of view, to be on the starting 11 with Rangers, because, as I say, I think he can bring a quality. If he gets it in the final third, he showed on Sunday, you know, he's more than capable.
Thank you to Robert on 0141 951 1025. Of course, you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Get all your thoughts over. It sums up the size of the game. It's very rarely we go Tuesday and Wednesday debating who starts the match. That's usually a sort of Thursday, Friday topic. But clearly, there is a lot of interest heading into this weekend. There's the mind games, there's the tactical suggestions. And as you say, Cammy, people can take what they want, because we didn't get too many Rangers fans on Monday or Tuesday delighted with the performance at the weekend. But there we go. Previous caller was pretty chuffed with it and thinks that it was a good sign of things to come.
Yeah, listen, the result was good in the end up. I think 4-1 probably flattered Rangers a little bit. But it's, as I say, it's never ever easy. It looks on paper easy to play against 10 men. It's never easy to play against 10 men. And you showed that resilience again, going one behind, to go and score 4 goals. So there was positives there. I just think there was still something missing. And I believe, looking at the Rangers players' reactions after the game, they thought there was something missing in that performance. But again, they've got the opportunity on Saturday to rectify that and go and put themselves in a really good position to try and put pressure on the Celtic.
Still a good time to call, so pick up that phone if you can whilst I run this past you.
Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner.
It is a double rollover on Make Me a Winner. The last two calls went to 5 rings. Winning this competition could be a life-changing moment. You do need to get on the ball, get ready to pick up that phone and say the right words. You could win £90,000 tomorrow when we make the next call, only if you're in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. The calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition can be found online. And the entries since Malcolm won on Friday have rolled over. So if you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win the £90,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The build-up continues to a busy weekend. There's a certain fixture on in Glasgow which seems to be dominating the airwaves and the headlines so far. But if there's anyone else out there that wants to change that tune, we are here for you. 0141 951 1025. David is on the line in Carntyne. How's it going, David?
Not so bad. Thanks for talking to us, guys.
Pleasure. What are you thinking tonight?
So just really around, there's been a wee bit of stick given to Phil to come on in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Just over, we all know he lost to Ross County. We all know Rangers no longer have the edge in the title race, but if you looked at it from where he came in November, 7 points behind, Since then, he's not managed to win an Old Firm game. Celtic still won the Old Firm game. They've obviously got out of Ibrox with a draw as well. But to me, Brendan Rodgers isn't getting any stick for that. You know, it's all right saying he's going to have some fun in the next 10 days. Everybody accepts Celtic now have the edge. They've got a home game against us. They've got the edge in the goal difference. But the fact is, they shouldn't have the edge. They should be out of sight. They were 7 points clear in November. They've also not lost an Old Firm game. But yeah, here we are. There's three games to go and still potentially they could lose it. So I just don't think Brendan's getting enough stick for it all.
I mean, he's not going to get stick right now, though, is he? I take your point because of the bigger picture, but Brendan Rodgers got a lot of stick. He got loads of stick on this show. Santa Claus was getting it on this show, and Brendan Rodgers and the players when Celtic looked like they chucked that away. But you mentioned 7 points in front, like they were. If Celtic win this weekend, they go 6 points in front, don't they? So I think he's had stick, David, but we're not all a bit fickle, we're all a bit reactive. Brendan Rodgers is not going to get stick right now in the week that many people expect him to go 6 points clear with a couple of games to go.
No, but you're saying you expect him to go 6 points clear. Is that your prediction then? You think Celtic are going to win?
No, you're the one that said Celtic had the edge. So what I'm saying is, going in this week, right now, I'm trying to envisage a scenario where people would be giving Brendan Rodgers stick right now. I don't really know what you mean.
Well, the point is that the title race isn't over, and it should be. There were 7 points clear back in November. They've also beat Rangers on New Year. They've also not lost to Ibrox, but yet they've still not won it. They have the edge, yes, but the race should be over. They should already have it won from where they were, but they've not managed to do that. Now, they could well manage to do that this weekend. They'll be favourites because it's a home game. We accept that. But the point is, all season, it's really been Phil Clement that's been having the fun because he's in a title race that Rangers, quite frankly, should never have got back into from where we were. You know, and I understand Celtic will probably get to have the fun in the next 2 weeks, but let's be honest, the pressure is on Phil Clement to win the title next year. And I know there's maybe a wee bit of sub-pressure to win an Old Firm game where nobody wants to see him go the full season without either winning, obviously, Saturday or winning the cup final. Absolutely no Rangers fan wants to see that. But at the end of the day, the pressure is on him to win it next season. The pressure's always been on Rodgers to win it this season, and so far, he's not won it.
Did that picture not change a bit when Philippe Clement did do very well, as you say? And then, you know, Rangers went ahead in this title race, David. And for a lot of people, they then became favourites.
That's my point. Well, I don't know about favourites, but that's my point. Phil Clement had the fun because we went ahead.
But that's what I'm saying. So if he then, so can you say that? Can you say that he, you know, after getting himself in front, is it then all right to turn around a couple of weeks later and say, it's fine. The pressure's actually on him to win it next season.
I think it is, because I think if you take the bigger picture, it's all right. If you want to take it in isolation, you can criticise certain things. We should never have lost to Ross County. We should never have let that happen. Most of the other results, to be fair, I can rationalise to a certain extent. You know, Pittodrie, Celtic Park, two of the hardest grounds to go to. Motherwell actually did very well against Celtic the week before.
Well said.
If you remember, they only just won in injury time. Ross County should never have happened. Dundee, to be fair, are a top six side this season. They're still a hard ground to go to. I know we should have won it, but at the end of the day, Celtic only just won there as well, 2-1. If you take the whole carry on with the picks and stuff, I'm not saying, you know, you're never happy to slip up, but I can rationalise the other results. But the point is, I don't think there's ever been a massive pressure on Phil Clement to deliver this season. I think the press is always saying Brendan Rodgers if he doesn't deliver this season, and I just don't think he's getting enough stick for it. If the boot was in the other foot, I think Rangers would be calling for the manager to be sacked in this position right now. Maybe not this week, but collectively, I think there'd have been a lot of calls for his head by now to have even let, you know, Celtic back in if the boot was in the other foot. That's all.
Wow. Can I believe what I'm hearing? So he should be sacked because... Why? Because the
he let Rangers back into it.
Because he's not won the league yet.
Well, but you have to give Philippe Clement and Rangers credit there as well. David's talking about rationalising results there. You would never have said Hearts would go to Celtic Park and win, but these things happen in the league. And yeah, Brendan Rodgers has received a bit of stick throughout the season on the back of two really successful seasons under Ange. His team's at times been criticised, the style of play, but they're 3 points ahead going into, and regardless of you win it in goal difference, you win it by 1 point, it'll go down in history, and it'll be the same if Rangers win it. We'll not be here next year quibbling over drop points here, there and everywhere, and we were leading it by 7 points and then it was Rangers were leading it. It'll be who wins the title. And it's, I don't know, I think maybe David's a wee bit, because of he keeps referring to fun, I think it's Brendan's comments last week after the game, but you know, Philip Clement can still win a treble for Rangers this year. You have to credit, you know, the job he's did when he's come in there. To suggest that, you know, there's a negativity because Celtic are 3 points clear just now with a few games to go and a home game and in a strong position is bizarre.
Yeah, listen, I can see what David's saying, that Celtic were in such a strong position when Clement came in. I think that's credit to Clement, how much he's brought on the players, certainly individuals that were there and were written off probably from a number of Rangers fans. He's got a better player out of them. So that shows you the level of his management, I believe. Where I kind of, I think that I look at Rangers' point of view, they flipped it. They were ahead and they had the opportunity, and then it's probably Clement will be looking at the mentality of the players that they shouldn't have dropped points when you're so close to the end of the season. And it can happen, I do get it, but they shouldn't be dropping points at Ross County and at Dundee when you're so close to closing in on a title. And that's where they'll be disappointed. That's where he'll look at the mentality, the strength of squad, all these different factors. But again, you still look at it, and Rangers still have an opportunity. I keep saying this, they have the opportunity to put a huge amount of pressure onto Celtic if they beat them on Saturday, and they can still win the title for me.
What do you think of that, Paul, and Castle Milk?
100%. I wouldn't say Rangers are at the title by any means. I think it's all about energies, and if Rangers did get an early goal, the energy might be different. But to be honest, I think we were 7 ahead. That it was by no means done, because the conclusion's coming at the end of May. And that's why Celtic fans have got the right energy now, and we've got all the right players back at the right time. And the energy, somebody says it was like Postecoglou, but it wasn't it? It's Brendan Rodgers, because he's always said it's a marathon in North Sprint. And I think, to be honest, David just sounds like why these Rangers fans, it's by winning next season.
But how do you view the picture as a whole then? You know, because I'm sure you'd have been critical of Brendan Rodgers at some point this season, Paul.
Gordon, I actually got asked if I want Player of the Year award tickets for the 12th, and I said, no, you can ram them. That was about Christmas time, and now I'm scrambling to try and get them.
Because you'll take him as your plus one, will you not?
I don't have a plus one.
You're going, don't you give us that, a man of your influence. I mean, this is where, looking solely at points, gaps, it's just one way of, listen, of looking point, at things. And I said to the caller, look, yeah, if the point is, well, it was 7 points, but now Rangers are back in it, it could go back to 6 this weekend. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it will, and therefore this conversation has to wait until 4 o'clock on Saturday. But say it did, then that sort of comeback, if you like, that Philippe Clement has overseen is wiped out. And that doesn't take into account the fact that Rangers got their noses in front. It maybe all comes back to what you say. Seeing May, does anybody really care?
Nobody really cares. At the end of, you know, once the league's won and lost, nobody cares. It will just get down in the record books as a win for whoever. Yes, back when David was referring to Celtic having a 7-point lead, it did look as if the league could be over, because at the time Rangers were a mess, quite frankly. You know, the Aberdeen game at home that cost Beale his job. So Philippe Clement's come in, not only has he steadied the ship, he worked it to Rangers were top of the table and leading the race. But as Cammy suggested there as well, then he maybe learned something from his players, those drop points when you're leading, it might be a different pressure, that the guys, you know, they've came up short in those two games. And a lot of the Celtic team have been over the course before. Brendan's been over the course many a time, and it's all about timing as well. So, as I said earlier, we'll not be quibbling over who dropped points and where at the end. It will just be who wins the league.
Thank you very much to Paul. 01419511025 is always the number to call, but particularly right now, if you want a piece of this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to show off your football knowledge and win a signed ball. So get it over to us right now on 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell are here. It's the usual number if you want to get in touch, or Twitter, as we continue the build up to this weekend's action. Of course, there are other stories out there. What about you, Airdrie Partick Thistle fans? What did you make of the playoffs last night? We're going to hear from Alex Gogic after signing a new St Mirren contract. St Mirren fans, how pleased are you with that news? And if you were listening to our news here on Clyde One, you'll have heard that clip from Derek McInnes expecting bids for David Watson this summer. Kelly fans, do you think he would be best served staying put? If he was to leave, what type of club do you, could you see coming in for him? And then the obvious one, the way it goes in this country, would you expect Celtic or Rangers to be having a wee look at the other good players that are right under their nose? So let us know all your thoughts there on 01419511025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form? I can't remember from you two. Have I got
a
stat?
A horrible win last week.
Yeah, that was dreadful actually. Yeah.
Tiebreaker, I think.
66% for you, Cammy, which
that's
is
right.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Let's meet tonight's contestant, which is Davey in Wishaw. How's it going, Davey?
Not bad, mate. Yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Are you expecting your team Celtic to win at the weekend?
Yeah, I'll go maybe 2-3-0.
And are you expecting yourself to win and beat the Pundit? What's got more chance of happening?
I'll just be happy not to get a zero.
Oh, setting the bar really, really low. Love it. I don't mind that. The only way is up, sort of thing. That's fine. Heads, it will be Simon Donnelly. Tails, it will be Cammy Bell. And it is Tails. It's Cammy against Davey in Wishaw. So what we'll do here is we'll give Cammy some greatest hits radio to listen to. Turn that up nice and loud so he can't hear Davey's answers. And it's really simple, Davey. You've never played before, have you?
No, no.
No, but it's very straightforward, as I'm sure you know. 30 seconds, yeah. You answer as many as you can, and if you want to pass and move on, fine by me, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's get stuck in. Your time starts now. Which English Championship club does Ryan Porteous play for?
Norwich.
Who scored both goals the last time Rangers beat Celtic at Celtic Park?
Tavernier.
What was the Airdrie Partick Thistle score last night?
2-0 pass.
In which country was Philippe Clement managing before Rangers?
Belgium.
Who was the last Scottish player to get a Champions League winner's medal?
Andy Robertson.
Who's Celtic's top scorer this season?
Not really.
Okay. Let's bring back Cammy. You ready?
Smiling. Are you smiling?
I'm just nervous for you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Which English Championship club does Ryan Porteous play for?
Watford.
Who scored both goals the last time Rangers beat Celtic at Celtic Park?
Tavernier.
What was the Airdrie Partick Thistle score last night?
2-2.
In which country was Philippe Clement managing before Rangers?
Belgium.
Who was the last Scottish player to get a Champions League winner's medal?
Pass.
Who's Celtic's top scorer this season?
Kyogo.
Other than Hibs, who's the only club Paul Hanlon has made an appearance for?
Dunfermline.
What do you think, Davey?
Tight,
says Davey. Let's find out.
Got a tricky ones.
Yeah.
Ryan Porteous plays for Watford. 1-0, Cammy Bell. None of you got this. Who scored both goals the last time Rangers beat Celtic at Celtic Park? Connor Goldson.
God.
You both went to Avalon. Connor Goldson.
Yep.
October 2020. The Airdrie Partick score last night was 2-2. So it's 2-0, Cammy Bell.
Yep.
You both went Belgium for Philippe Clement, but it was France most recently.
Monaco.
With Monaco.
Yep.
How are you feeling now, Davey?
Nah, done. I thought I'd have one.
The last Scottish player to get a Champions League winner's medal was Billy Gilmore. Chelsea. He didn't get on in the final, but he got a medal. That's
good
why
question.
I worded it carefully.
Yep.
So it's still 2-0 to Cammy. Celtic's top scorer. So you need this, Davey, don't you, to avoid the zero?
Oh,
which is what you said that was all he was aiming for, was to avoid the zero. Who's Celtic's top scorer this season? I'm afraid it's Kyogo Davey.
What did he say?
Matt O'Reilly.
I think he just passed him at the weekend.
Is that so three? Davey came on to avoid the zero.
He's got the zero. Davey, you jinxed yourself.
Davey!
It wasn't that bad. It was only 2-0.
3-0. He got Davey. Kyogo.
3-0.
He got Kyogo. Andy Robertson was a good shout, to be fair.
So did I. Paul Hanlon's only other appearance, 2 for St. Johnstone.
Okay.
There we go. Unlucky,
I'll
Davey.
Be back, Cammy.
So Davey
I'll be
said,
back.
Davey, Andy Robertson
get
as
a
well,
good pre season under your belt, and we'll see you next season, okay?
I promise.
Good man. That was Davey. Davey. I love that. He's come on like, specifically to not get a zero,
and he's done
talked
it.
Himself into it.
And I was stumbling through that, to be fair.
Oh,
a chance,
my.
Yeah, a tricky ones. Does that pop my percentage up a wee bit?
Well, of course it will.
Great.
And your percentage is volatile. You've played a lot less than the likes of Gordon DL, who likes to always.
I heard about him pumping his gums last night about
usual. So did Kyogo just pass O'Reilly?
He must have. Yep, with the two
at
goals.
At the weekend.
Must have, aye.
So I Davey's knew it was close between
Davey's
them
Davey's actually unlucky. He's went O'Reilly and Andy Robertson. I would have said Andy as well. I forgot about
it. There's only one Doma. Goal in it for Kyogo. Yeah, passed him at the weekend. There we go. Yeah, well, listen, it's correct. I'm not questioning. I'm just trying desperately to get Davey a point. That's all. Just trying to get him something on the board, but it's not happening. It is not happening. Tried my best. But anyway, we back tomorrow with another Beat the Pundit, and we'll see what Gordon DL and Mark Wilson can come up with. Right, what about Jimmy, who's on in Knightswood? How's it going, Jimmy?
How you doing, guys?
Yeah, good, thanks. What are you thinking?
I was listening to my fellow Rangers fan there. I think it was David talking about the criticism that Brendan Rodgers should get. I don't see where he's coming from. As a Rangers fan, when Michael Beale was the manager, we were all in fear of what was going to happen. But I mean, where we are now, I'll take a cup double as a success for us. And you know, I don't know where he's coming from, guys.
I'm looking forward to that come the end of the season. Just if it were Rangers to get the double and Celtic win the league, the debate about what is a good season and what's not. Everybody knows the league's always the priority. How could it not be? It's the same in every country. I suppose logic follows. If you can't do that, you might as well win the other two. But that's what's going to dominate as soon as the Scottish Cup final's done. If, like I say, that's mostly if it went that way. But the success and failure is not black and white. There are shades in between.
It's not so much about success and failure. The fact is that when Michael Beale was there, we were 7 points behind Celtic, and the job he's done now has been absolutely remarkable. And I'm not saying that. I mean, obviously Celtic are favourites to win the championship, Gordon. I mean, the fact of the matter is that to be sitting now with the possibility of still probably maybe doing the treble, my heart says we're going to do it, my head says obviously no. But I mean, if we come at the end of the season with a cup double, for me that's success. If we might be worthy Michael Beale, and if we win the treble, it's absolutely fantastic. We need to take everything into perspective. I mean, Philippe Clement will probably get his own chance to bring in his own players next season, and we'll see what happens. But for me, a cup double as it stands is a success. But we could have been better, and we could have probably maybe won the treble up to 4 games ago when we started to throw it away. But I mean, for excluding this bump your gums about saying that Brendan Rodgers should be criticised for being 7 points ahead and now it's no. For me, silliness. Look at the game as a whole and think that we have progressed under Philippe Clement, and we'll take Saturday as it comes and we'll see what happens in the next 2 or 3 weeks, mate.
Yeah, and then we're doing the psychological analysis this week. Before we get to that cup final, we'll have to assess who's won the league and what impact does that have. Does that give somebody a point to prove, or has it demoralised the team that doesn't win the league? So strap yourself in. Going to be a good few weeks.
Yeah, an amazing few weeks ahead of us. I get Jimmy's point, and I totally agree. I think Clement's came in and done a brilliant job. Listen, if you had offered, and they've not won, they've obviously won one cup so far, they've not won the other cup, but if you'd offered Rangers fans a cup double after that Aberdeen game, they were absolutely bit your hand off for it, because they were in such a low place to turn it around so quickly. And again, with majority of the same players, yes, there's been one or two additions in January that have helped, but he's improved so many players. And they're still in a chance for a treble. At the moment, they're still in a chance for the treble. The league isn't over. It's a big game on Saturday for them. They need to find that victory to put the pressure on to Celtic. But I think he'll have learnt a lot this season, Philippe, come on. I think he'll learnt a lot about his players, that when they did get ahead, they didn't handle that pressure, they didn't handle that expectation, and they probably should have. They were in a good enough position to go to Ross County with only 7 games left of the season to then go on and get the title, and they didn't do that, so it's their own doing. But he'll have learnt a lot this season, and I agree with Jimmy, he'll have his own recruitment that'll be going through the process in the summer, and they'll bring in a number of players.
Just out of curiosity, and I know that these clubs are big machines and it's supposed to all tick along, I wonder what that looks like right now for both. But you're talking about Rangers, as to the plans that have been put in place for next season.
Recruitment-wise?
Yeah, because it still has to be, you know, you still have to look at it with a clear mind if you're the manager. Fans can maybe be swayed. Look, if X group of players goes on and wins this league, you probably end up thinking you'll end up thinking they're better than you would if they had lost the game. But if they'd lost the league, sorry. But I wonder how both sets are progressing with that.
It's an interesting one. I mean, I think from the Rangers' point of view, and I think Jimmy speaks a lot of sense there in terms of the success that Rangers have had this season from where they were when they lost the last manager. But it's an interesting one that you're saying, that because there is quite a few players that have been there for a number of years with Rangers, and you would think, is maybe Clement going to look at that and try and freshen it and change it? But as you quite rightly say, if they go on and win the treble, then it maybe changes your mind a little bit about one or two of them.
It feels a wee bit to me that there's a number of players in the building at Rangers that have run its course.
Two or three managers.
Even if the league's won.
Yeah, totally. No, I believe that, and I think the manager's clever enough to identify that as well. He's getting the best out of the players. That's what all he can control at this moment in time, is getting the best out of the players in the squad that he's got. But I firmly believe he'll be looking at the transfer market, and yeah, I think there's a number of players that have just had their time at Rangers and maybe just need freshened up from both points of view, the player and the club.
Thank you very much to Jimmy in Knightswood. Other parts of Glasgow in the West are available. It just so happens that Carol is also there. You're not Jimmy's neighbour, are you, Carol?
No, I don't think so.
How are you tonight? All good?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Can't complain. What are you thinking then?
Right, I've got a theory. Now, it might be completely mince, but I'm a big Rangers fan, right? Mm-hmm. I know we're going into the Lions Den, and I do accept that Celtic are the favourites, okay? However, seeing Europe, that never bothered us, right? We took on the biggest and the best, and we did well. Now, can we not get into our heads, it's just another European game? Now, see if Clement got into the heads of the boys and said, right, forget it, Celtic, right? It's beat us or whatever it is, and another European. I think we would do well, because we seem to turn it on in Europe. And if we can create the same kind of technical spirit and the fight up for the fight, I think we might just pull off a surprise.
I get where Carol's coming from. Rangers have had a lot of good moments against the odds in Europe, Cammy. What is in that? How can you recreate that type of performance?
It's difficult. I think what Carol's saying is absolutely right, and Clement will be saying, look, this is another game. Let's not go over the top. They need to control their emotions, control their again, there'll be a lot of emotions going on throughout that, because they know how big the game is, but they can't lose that, because again, refereeing decisions, you've got to be aware of these things. But it's difficult to create that European feel, because you're playing Celtic, and Celtic will approach this game differently. They know it's a derby match. I think European games start a little bit slower in tempo. Listen, this game on Saturday will not start with a slow tempo. Both teams will be 100 mile an hour, and Rangers just need to weather that storm to start with. They've started poorly in the last couple of Old Firm games. They need to learn from that. They need to stay in the game, keep it tight. And as I say, probably looking at Rangers' point of view, the longer it's close within the game and possibly a draw, the more that might start creeping in the Celtic mind, players' minds anyways, that A draw does them on Saturday, and Rangers could sneak it and catch them on the counter attack or potentially a set piece.
You wonder if that is part of the messaging said when you look at the Rangers have gone to Betis and won.
Yeah.
They went to Benfica and drew. So
I think they need a performance like that. I take on board what Carol's trying to say. I don't think they should treat it like a European game, but I think they need a level of performance on a par with that. The Betis game, am I right in saying it was quite topsy turvy? They were backs against the wall at times, but they were in the lead, and then before half time, it looked as if Betis could open them up at will, but then they hung in and they get the goal in the second half. I think you need a performance like that, I think, of that level at the weekend to get anything out of the game.
There's key players for me for Rangers, and again, Jack Butland's one. Being an ex-goalkeeper myself, again, I just look at him and I think if there's a huge performance from him, he can absolutely flip this game. He's going to have to make big saves. Celtic will get opportunities, there's no doubt about that. They're at home, so there'll be the expectation from the fans, from the manager, that they'll get chances. But Jack Butland can have a big, big say in the way this game goes.
He can stop you losing it, but somebody else will need to make sure win it.
Yeah, but again, I've seen it before, certainly with Rangers goalies looking closely at Alan McGregor. He makes big saves in big moments of the games, and it flips it. It almost puts a little bit of belief in the rest of the team, and then they go up the pitch and they score an important goal. We've seen it all before from Rangers, so I firmly believe that Jack Butland's going to have a huge say in the game. If he can produce one of his big, big performances, then he could be a key player for Rangers.
How important could he be, Carol?
Perhaps he can be, but I agree with you about Alan and all that, but Alan was a penalty specialist. I mean, he saved the most weirdest penalty kicks that nobody else could have put a glove on. I haven't seen Alan Butland yet. So that, if Celtic get a penalty, I would be less troubled if there was Alan McGregor in the sticks. I'd be more troubled because it's Butland.
Wow, we've found a weakness in Jack Butland that we're not happy about. He doesn't get close enough to penalties.
Well, be fair.
That'll be dominating the build-up, I'm sure. Predictions about who will or will not get a penalty. And if there is one given, don't you, or you'll hear all about it on here. I think that's an absolute certainty. So thank you to Carol on the line. Did you see Jack Butland? Argument with the Rangers fans out in the car park over a signing of autographs or shirts or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why
nothing's secret in the
after the game
in the smartphone era.
Then after the game,
against Kilmarnock, again, that's why I think there was a little bit of frustration from the Rangers supporters from the Kilmarnock performance. It was just
surely would. In terms of performance, it wouldn't be directed at him.
No, I don't think so. But I think
I think he was making the point. I think he had somewhere to be.
Right.
In fact, he was going to the PFA Awards that night. Yeah, he was there. I saw him. He'd somewhere to be. He was making the point that he always stands and signs things.
And he does. You've got to take your hat off to him. I've been there with my daughter and stuff, and a number of the Rangers players stand there and listen, they don't deserve any stick. They're doing the right thing for the fans and signing autographs. And Jack Butland's one that always stops and signs stuff. So, and listen, he's been absolutely phenomenal for Rangers this season. But I think he's just letting the fans know that they're fully focused on them game. And I still think that he'll be in that dressing room saying that they're absolutely believing they can go and win this game. It's going to be a big, big challenge, but they can definitely do it.
Thanks again to Carol, 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Derek McInnes next, bracing himself for bids for David Watson. I wonder, Kelly fans, if you think you've got a realistic chance of hanging on to him, where would he be best served playing his football next season? And the usual way of the world when there's an impressive Scottish youngster, Celtic and Rangers fans, is that a direction you would look in? Let us know right now and we'll take your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where you send the question in and the pundits try and come up with the answers between now and the end of the show. Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell. I'm going to put this politely. I don't think you're the greatest duo at the full-time teaser.
You say this every time I'm on. I don't know if it's
and I say it every time he's on, and then you two are now together. So it's like a. But sometimes, the sum of your parts and all that. Who knows?
Honestly,
let's get the question up and running.
You've got a point.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Right. Doable, I do think, okay. I have to say. More of a bit of a memory test for you, this one, and I'd like to thank Max Smith for sending it in. Thank you to Max. He wants you to name, I don't know if we'll see one this weekend, but the last 10 players to score a header in an Old Firm game. So who are the last 10 players to score a header Goldson. In an Old Firm game? Goldson, yes. Because did you know that he scored a double the last time Rangers beat Celtic at Celtic Park?
I've been listening, I've been paying attention.
As advertised on Beat the Pundit. Connor, Goldson.
Headers.
Charlie Mulgrew.
Nope, not going as far back as him.
Morelos.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a complete guess. You can tell by the tone. Say it with a bit more certainty and then it'll be convincing.
Headers.
Morelos? I can give you some thinking time. It's not a terrible start. I've seen worse.
Kyogo hasn't.
Not a header.
Okay.
No.
Didn't think so.
Well, many have been looking for 10.
10, did you say? Right, okay.
Goldson, Morelos.
It's funny because looking at the, I don't think I'd be very good at this. I'm looking at the list and like some are not obviously like particularly strong headers of the ball, but it just so happens they got in the right area at the right time. I mean, some might be. Some might be, you know, centre half. Is that the best chance of scoring for them? But there are others. There are others.
Carter Vickers?
Nah. No. Okay, we'll leave it there for now and see what you're capable of. Thanks to Max again for sending it in. And if you think you could do that, come up with the question. Put it to the pundits. Try and catch them out. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from Derek McInnes, shall we? You can keep your calls coming on this or anything else, but it is it's fresh stuff today, so I'd be keen to get your thoughts on what Derek McInnes has had to say. I think it extends to Kilmarnock fans and all other fans really who've got a keen interest in good young players in Scotland. Derek McInnes says he is expecting offers for player of the year David Watson this summer, young player of the year. He thinks it's only natural after the season he's had.
I think we should expect speculation about David. I think that we should expect clubs being more than aware of him. People on the radar are bigger clubs than us, you know, that's the way it goes, and we'd be surprised if there wasn't, do you know what I mean? It's like but he's been a fantastic story for us for the academy, a real kind of flagship really signing for a player for that. But I think Davey is one that we would like to hang about a bit longer. As a manager, you want to try and hold on to your best players for as long as you can, but we understand the market, and if there is offers coming from, as I expect, it's something that we'd have to look at, but we don't want to lose him. I think he's a credit to himself. I think he's only going to get better. I think he's in good company with the nominees around him, and to come out and talk was fantastic for him. And to win the if he can win the sports writers, and if he can, and he's already won the PFA award, there's been a lot of top players who have won that and went on to brilliant careers, and I think he'll win another one.
Kilmarnock correspondent Cammy Bell, give us your thoughts. The reason for that, by the way, the kind of updated version that Derek McInnes alluded to, you've all heard that he won the PFA Young Player of the Year award at the weekend. He has now been shortlisted for the Football Writers one. It's a very similar shortlist, actually. The same David Watson, Lennon Miller, Lyle Cameron. The only difference on this one is Conor Barron of Aberdeen.
Yeah, no, he's been fantastic for Kilmarnock this season. Again, he's a real workhorse, real engine of Kilmarnock's midfield. He scored a number of very good goals as well. There was one against Aberdeen, and then he scored that one against St Mirren where he kind of, I think it was the fifth one, where he dribbled from halfway line and beat a number of players and finished it. So he's got that in his locker as well. But I just think his work effort, he breaks up play really well for Kilmarnock, and he's going to be, I think he definitely will leave Kilmarnock this summer. I know there'll be a number.
Really?
Yeah, no, I think there've been people looking at him all season just because of his age again and the potential. I probably think the suitors would be down south, to be honest.
What makes you say that?
I just feel as if I'm unsure if Rangers and Celtic would be looking at him at this moment in time. I don't know why. I've just got a feeling that I think he'd be more suited to a sort of championship. That would be stepping stone to moving on his career. I just can't really see, and I don't know why. I'm just got a feeling that Rangers and Celtic possibly wouldn't look at him.
John's on the line. What do you think, John?
No, I think it's a no-brainer. You go for him and, sorry, Gordon, but I'd go for a young Lennon Miller too.
Both of them?
So I would,
Yes, I would think, as you say, as we all know, Brendan Rodgers is brilliant at bringing kids along, you know what I mean? He'll nurture them. And I think, obviously, he might not go, obviously, the way Turnbull didn't go at the Celtic's first team, but obviously, I think we're going to lose Hatate or O'Reilly in the coming season. So I think it's a no-brainer for Celtic. To be truthful, I've not seen hundreds of the young boy play. I've not seen a lot of minutes of him. But what I've seen, I'm very impressed with him. He's got some engine. And he's got an eye for goal, and I think if he came to Celtic, Brendan Rodgers would bring him on leaps and bounds.
I always like to think I can stick up for fans of the so-called wee teams, and if you're a Killie fan or St Mirren or Motherwell, it's the most annoying thing in the world when there's this assumption that Celtic and Rangers can come and pick your best young player. At the same time, if I remove my wee team bias, if Celtic and Rangers don't start by looking at who's good and young under their nose before they go elsewhere, then they're probably not doing their job either. So what do you think?
Well, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. I like the lad at your place, Lennon Miller.
10 million and we'll talk.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. But I'm like John, I haven't seen a lot of young Watson. The thing that sticks out for me was the lovely goal he scored up at Pittodrie. The question mark is, at this young stage of their career, are they going to go to a Rangers or a Celtic and play regular? I think for their development, because these guys are playing on a regular basis at Kilmarnock and Motherwell. And as Cammy says, you know, maybe a move between that. Although you would argue if they went down south and were successful, then they'd maybe go out of the price market for Celtic or Rangers. It's more for the boys' development, I think. They've found themselves in the first teams now playing on a regular basis. They want to keep that going. And you know what, are they at that level where, as John's saying there, to go into Celtic, would they go into the team and play a lot of football?
I think, but they're still very young. That would be the difference this time. You know, we can always reference other players who've gone. David Watson's 19.
But they're playing first team football.
Lennon Miller's a good bit younger.
Lennon Miller's 17, am I right in saying that? Yeah.
So the Watson scored twice at Celtic Park this season, Cammy.
No, he has.
How important can that be when you start attracting interest? Because I think stylistically, most people have him as kind of real all action, box to box. Like, energy would be the main attribute. That's not to say he doesn't have others, obviously. But to then go and add, it's always about goals, you know. It is, like, that's what gets the headlines. You look at the number of goals David Turnbull scored for Motherwell. Yep. That is the bit that grabs the attention.
And he's a box to box player, and that's where it comes in handy with the engine that he's got. He can get up and down the pitch. As I say, he's very good at breaking up play as well. But then you find him in the box in the opposition half and scoring goals. So he does have a huge amount of talent. And I agree with John. Listen, see, if he was to go to Celtic, of course he would become a better player. He's going to train with better players. He's got a manager who's very good at coaching players as well. Not saying Derek McInnes isn't, but I just think training day in, day out with top quality players, of course your levels are going to get higher and half to get higher. I just don't know if Celtic and Rangers would pay the fee that Kilmarnock are looking for, because it'll be a hefty fee as well. They'll not be letting this kid go for free. Billy Bowie's backed Kilmarnock very well over the last few years and has a few quid in his pocket, so it'll have to be the right fee for him to leave the club. So I'm just unsure if both clubs would be willing to pay that fee.
I think has he got a year left? I don't know if it's much more than that, is it? I'll double check. But John, you think it's obviously been a mixed market for Celtic over the years, but you think, you know, kind of making sure you don't let any obvious ones at home pass you by is a good way to start?
I think a good thing as well, Gordon, is to keep the money in Scotland, know what I mean? Again, down there, know what I mean? They try to penny pinch your players, as we all know. But I think it'd be good for Celtic to go for them. But can I make another point, Gordon, on another subject, Derek McInnes? Now, I don't really know. Maybe I'm going in blind here,
just
right?
Very quickly, sorry. 2026 he's got, so 2 years.
See, after the decision against Rangers and the player get sent off, see, if that had happened at Celtic Park, Derek McInnes would never have been off. I've been on the media all the time complaining about it, but to my mind, he hasn't complained about the decision that happened at Ibrox.
I think he just said, he said by the rules, he'd kind of understand, you know, harsh on Joe Wright, just like everyone said, but he understands that in the rules that's always going to be...
It is a red card. There's no getting away from it. And I think Derek McInnes is wise enough that he understands the rules. It's very harsh on Joe Wright, I get that, but the rules are the rules.
So therefore it's just one that you might want to sort of come out and complain about, but you
I think
can't
he
really.
Makes himself look a bit silly if he comes out and starts moaning about it to be honest, because he knows the rules, and again he'll be made well aware of the rules before he's done his media after the game. He'll be frustrated because it is a harsh red card, but that's what the rules say. He has to go off the pitch.
So what's the theory, John, that if that had happened at Celtic,
he always complains. I know Simon can't really say much because he's a talented of Celtic. He's an ex-Celtic man, but he always complains every decision that goes against him to Celtic is as if all we get everything against him. You know what I mean? I just thought, well, as an ex-Rangers player, he seems to me that he never opened his mouth about it. And even my wee pal always on talking to poor Kenny Miller. Kenny Miller actually thought it was a harsh decision, and I think he's got a lot of stick up Rangers fans because he said that.
But surely the only way we can make this comparison is if Celtic as if Kilmarnock have had a handball on the line against Celtic, plucking random other incidents when they're not the same.
I'm just talking about over the years. He seems to always have a gripe with Celtic. But I mean, because he's an ex-Rangers player, and he's actually had to go. He's never really complained.
But that's what I'm saying. This is a different. If there was the same incident and then he's reacted completely differently to them, I would understand that gives a bit of weight to the theory. Until such time, Simon, I don't really know.
Yeah,
the.
But listen, I think at the time, and I'll go with Kenny Miller. I think it was harsh, but it's the rule. I think the rules need to be changed on that subject. It's one of the ones, because at the time, it swung things, because Rangers were finding it increasingly difficult to get into that game after Kilmarnock taking the lead, and it's a big moment in the game. But it's the rules, which I don't agree with the handball rule.
Yeah, and that's on one hand, that's fine. You're entitled to say what you want about it, but I feel like we're doing this a lot more now, Cammy, in that, you know, we can all have issues with it, but we need to almost stop. We can't get the rules changed, unfortunately. You know, we would kind of love to, but that's a conversation for another day. And I feel like not just this incident, any incident, we keep analysing them at times against the criteria that we would like to see, rather than what it actually is.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think Derek McInnes has made any comment about it. He probably has said somewhere it's harsh on the boy, because it is harsh on Joe Wright. It's very harsh on him, but the rules say that if you stop the ball with your hand going into the back,
well, if it's outstretched, obviously, because there can be other mitigating factors. Yes. If it hits you maybe above the t-shirt line, I think we've seen some of them.
And
in
we
Scotland
know it's not
season.
Deliberate. Again, he's trying to make the tackle right on the line, so he's out of control. His body, his arms away from his body, so we know that. But it's stopped the ball from going in the back of net. So that's why he has been sent off. And I just don't think Derek McInnes would put himself in a position and make himself look silly by saying something against the rules. I think internally he'll be saying to the boy, look, it's really harsh on you, and there's not a lot you can do about that. It's just one of them unfortunate situations, to be honest.
01419511025, that is the number you need. Or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well if you want to get in touch. We've got plenty of time, I would say. We're ticking along towards the end of the show, but still time to get in touch. Let's bring in Stevie, who's just called, actually, in Coatbridge. How are you, Stevie?
All right, how are we doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just thinking, James Tavernier, the goal that James Tavernier scored in the Kilmarnock game, mm-hmm, was a punch and ball into the net. So if it's a handball before it's went in, it's an automatic send-off and it's a goal-scoring opportunity. So why was he not punished for that?
Because he didn't stop the goal-scoring. He didn't stop the goal-scoring opportunity, did he? Because the ball went in.
Aye, but the referee could have stopped it and gave a penalty kick, but because it went in, they gave the goal. So it still cut his horn before it went in the net. So it's still a handball in the box.
So you would rather Kilmarnock didn't get the goal?
Well, they could have taken the penalty kick, and James Tavernier could have been out of the park, and Kilmarnock could have scored the penalty.
They might have missed it, though. I reckon if you gave Kilmarnock the opportunity, I think they would take the goal.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is.
But the man should still obviously get a yellow card or some sort.
No, but he shouldn't. That's the thing, because the handball doesn't affect anything. There is no outcome there. It deflects off his hand, ends up in the back of the net. Killie get their goal. Everybody, I assumed, in the world would move on. Yep. But maybe not.
Well, it's not going in unless it hits his hand. So he's effectively put it in, but you would take the goal. Of course he would.
Yeah.
It's an accidental. I don't think Tav's meant to handball it. So no. I think it's an accidental handball and it's deflected into his net. And it's unfortunate for him that it's went back in it, but I can't see it being a penalty and a red card. I just don't get the logic in that one. So
yeah, we'll agree to disagree. Thank you, Stevie. It's a perfect time to call if you want to join in as well. And how are you two faring on this teaser? We're looking for the last 10 players to score a header in an Old Firm game. You've got Morelos and Goldson.
Ledley.
Too far back. Stephen said that one on Twitter as well.
Griffiths.
Nope. They're all quite recent, believe it or not.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
All within the last maybe 4 or 5 seasons, maybe. Something along those lines.
Edward.
Yes.
I've said that and I literally can't remember the goal.
I'm not sure I can remember that one either. That's what's confusing me.
Yeah.
But anyway, there is one.
I really remember.
Here, the clues I'll give you. It was at Hampden, and he's really, really not known for his heading. But like I say, obviously if you're in the right place at the right time, you can get a particularly good opportunity from that. Doesn't mean that he rose above everybody in a crowded 18 yard box. Hampden. Is he not doing anything for you,
no.
Simon?
Oh.
Cup game, obviously.
It should be.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I'm going to switch the play and go Christopher Julien.
No. He's actually
Forrest.
Not. No.
Is he too far back as well?
Must be, yeah.
God. Yeah, I remember that one.
So it's a Celtic player, not.
I'll describe the goal. Corner, right. So you're watching it from the main stand at Hampden. Look to your left, okay?
Yeah.
Rangers get sort of caught in possession. Somebody thinks it's going to be a free kick. They all stand still. Maeda chips the ball in.
Jota.
There we go.
God, that's what it was.
Anyway, we'll get back with the rest of the answers, hopefully, next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly. They're trying their best to go through this full-time teaser. It's a good one that Max Smith sent in. And as always, thank you to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out with the question. Can you name, and you can play along at home, as many of you are, the last 10 players to score a header in an Old Firm game? So Jota was the second most recent. I'll give you that clue. Edouard, Morelos and Goldson is all you've got so far.
Tavernier.
Yes, he did Celtic score a header. Yeah, he was in it back post, as you would expect. Yep.
Roof.
Yes, Kemar Roof, okay.
And John Souter.
John Souter is on there. He was the most recent, okay. So you've got two others. And all I will tell you to slightly steer you in the right direction is that they are both former Rangers players, okay. So I'll leave that with you between now and the end of the show. It's not all about Celtic against Rangers on Saturday. I know many of you think that way, but it is that time of the season when prizes are dished out, promotion can be sealed, relegation. I said it last night, I love the playoffs, Cammy. What did you make of your draw against Partick Thistle first leg?
Yeah, very exciting end to end. Again, it kind of took twists and turns, which I fully expected. Two good teams. Listen, I know Partick beat Airdrie 4-0 quite recently, and that would have given Partick a bit of confidence. But Airdrie have been good all season. I think that was a little blip, to be honest. They've got some good players, very competitive in all games as well. So, yeah, it's fully set up for that second leg. And again, whoever manages to progress is going to have a hard game against Raith Rovers in the next one as well.
Yeah, all to play for. I think Airdrie are probably one of the more attractive teams in that division this season. Played some really nice football, some good technical players in that team. And it's set up nicely for Hull. I think it's Friday night. I watched Partick go through the playoffs so brilliantly last year.
Yeah,
and just fall at the, I was going to say, it was the last 20 odd minutes of that game.
It's
so
not the last hurdle, is it? They're over the last hurdle.
They were
hurdle,
over the last hurdle and stumbled
falling at the
before
line.
The finishing line, which was incredible. So there'll be players in that team that will want to put that right, but it's set up for a bit of a ding-dong on Friday night. I think the two of them will go for it.
And you cannot beat a good story like Luke Macbeth, Cammy Bell. He was, up until January, playing for Glen Afton. He played for East Kilbride before that. He straight away, even getting a move from Glen Afton to Partick Thistle is great in itself, yeah, before you even go on and do anything. Never mind score your first goal by smashing one in from 30 yards in a playoff to try and get towards the Premiership.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Incredible story. And again, it's a bit like the Chris Doolan one coming from the juniors as well. Yeah. So
there's a couple, Chris Doolan and Chris Erskine both came for the juniors.
Again, so it is that they've got that,
they've looked at,
they've got that about them, and especially Dool's been over in Ayrshire. Again, he'll keep a close eye on the juniors. I'm sure he's got a few contacts in there. But listen, it's absolutely brilliant for the boy as well, because it raises his profile so much, and people take interest in it. And it just shows you teams are still looking at the lower leagues for these gems.
And it's not to say that the job gets massively diminished if they don't come out on top, but it feels like people are watching just to see if Airdrie can progress. We're talking about stories. Rhys McCabe, how young he is, the way he's got the team playing, obviously technically a player manager as well.
Yeah.
If they could make a real go of these playoffs, that's going to be one of the managerial stories to come out of Scotland for a long time.
Absolutely. And again, you talk about managers of the year, and I'm not saying there's been a huge amount of high achievers this season, but he's got to be up there, of certainly within people's minds, because again, to get Airdrie straight up last year, as a player manager, as such a young manager and coach, and then to get them into the playoffs, overachieving, not on a huge budget, he speaks really, really well. I think he coaches his team really, really well. They understand what they're doing. They play some great football, and it's going to be difficult for Airdrie to keep a hold of him if he keeps going this way. And again, what a story that would be if they managed to get into the Premier League. It would be incredible.
Yeah, I think there's a bravery in Airdrie, the way they try to play the game. And I think, you know, reports this season on the style and pleasing on the eye. A lot of good, as I said earlier, on technical players, but it takes a bravery to go and try and play and not just be, you know, one of many, you know, just trying to get through games, actually trying to make a difference. So it'd be a fantastic story. He's so young as well. He's playing himself. It's not an easy thing. I don't imagine that to be an easy thing to do as well, you know, to be playing as well as the pressures of being a manager and, you know, everything that comes with that, trying to organise your team, but also performing. It's an incredible story.
He's still the youngest in senior manager. Football in Britain, yeah? I know, yeah, he was, yeah, at one point. I mean, 31, it's remarkable. And really, it is all set up, isn't it, for an absolute cracker on Friday.
Yeah, and again, it's both teams know what they need to do is try and get the victory. Partick will have that little bit of edge because they're at home, but yeah. Airdrie fear nobody. They absolutely fear nobody. They've had some big results this season, and it's going to be an absolute cracker. I really do think it's two good teams ding-donging it out. And as I say, they're on to Raith Rovers, who's been brilliant this season as well. So another good week of football ahead of us.
Yeah, Raith just sitting, waiting for the winner of that one. All the playoffs are quite finely poised. You said you were at Dumbarton, who beat Stirling Albion 2-1. So again, that's fairly close. And they were all a bit like that, weren't they?
Very, very close last night.
Couple of draws, Hamilton,
Inverness.
Yeah, and Inverness is a big story as well, because we know, obviously, financially, they're struggling anyways within the Championship. And if they were to drop down to League One, that's 0-0 with Montrose. If they were to drop down to League One, it would be huge consequences on the club and the staff that are there. But yeah, listen, it was a good night at The Rock last night. I heard that was one of the questions as well last night on
it was
Pundit.
The Rock, yeah. That's right. Yep. You were heading there as well. It's like it's starting to get a bit of warmer weather as well, where you feel like it's nice to sit and watch football. Some people do that when the weather gets good. Some people wear flip-flops to their work, like Simon Donnelly. Denim shorts and flip-flops under this desk, by the way. How well have I done to get to the end of the show without mentioning it? Incredible.
This will be me till September.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Hail anyway, shame.
We will leave it there. Can you name the last 10 players to score a header in an Old Firm game? John Souter, Jota, Tavernier, Roof, Edouard, Morelos, Goldson. Oh, it's three to get. I thought it was only two.
Oh.
Who are the two Rangers ones then? One Celtic to get. Centre backs, both of them same era. That's kind of Steven Gerrard era. So obviously Goldson was there, but it's not him. You've got him. Who are the others? Goldson and, come on, he used to roll off the tongue.
Absolute mind blank.
So not Balogun.
It wasn't Balogun.
Nope. Goldson and blonde hair, big Swedish guy.
Hallander.
Oh, come on.
Hallander.
Okay. The other one from that exact same era.
I think the Celtic. Is the Celtic one a centre back as well?
No.
No.
Did the other one play as much?
Yeah, I think the injury problems. But he was relatively popular at times, and when he played, Rangers fans quite liked him. Quite aggressive. Maybe a bit kind of rough around the edges. Katic. Nikola Katic. The Celtic one's tough, Simon. It was a difficult time. It was that bad season, I think, for Celtic. But he would, what, he would have been one of the standouts that season. So it was only really what David Turnbull and maybe this guy, one or two others, and he scored a header. He was a winger, but he did score a header.
Oh my goodness, I should...
Do you remember him? Played against Scotland not that long ago for Norway. Southampton.
Yeah.
Yeah,
El Yunusi. Thank you, Cammy. Oh. And Simon, we're back tomorrow with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL from 6, and Lynn is in for Callum up next.